You have a question for McLuhan.
There's a quote, Mr. McLuhan. You've spoken about the rearview mirror many times. And the statement is, we drive into the future using only our rearview mirror. Would you say that that still applies today as much as it did years ago during your time?
To see a man slip on a banana skin is to see a rationally structured system suddenly translated into a whirling machine.
Do you have an updated definition for the rearview mirror?
Well, the student of media soon comes to expect the new media of any period, whatever, to be classified as pseudo by those who require the patterns of earlier media, whatever they may happen to be.
Can you describe what your chemical body went through when you were transitioning?
Bliss.
Will you be able to tell us a little about where you are now?
Have you ever taken LSD yourself? No, I never have. I'm an observer in these matters, not a participant.
So you would say you're observing where you are now. You're not participating in where you are now?
Ever.
Do you know if of anyone who's alive today who would be the most like you, who would you say is a student of yours that had it right the most?
We would never listen to someone who agreed so much with us.
What did you think about Zappa's music?
It's just when people are all engaged in snooping on themselves and another that they become anesthetized to the whole process. Tranquilizers and anesthesias, private and corporate, become the largest business in the world. Just as the world is attempting to maximize every form of alert, sound light shows as a new cliche are effect mergers, retrievers of the tribal condition in the state that has already overtaken private enterprise as individual businesses form into massive conglomerates. And information itself becomes the largest business in the world. Data banks know more about the individual people than the people do themselves. The more the data banks record about each one of us, the less you exist.
What would you say that you have or had in common with Zappa?
Absolutely nothing.
What was the type of music that you preferred?
Well, the matter had to be tested on its own terms, that is, by prayer. He told me that the principal prayer that he used was not some long or complex formula, but simply, Lord, please send me a sign. He reported that almost immediately, not one, but a deluge of signs arrived. As they continued to arrive unabated for a long time, as to just the sounds consisted in what happens next, well, some things must remain private. The reader may deduce the rest from the fact of his conversion.
So the music he preferred, Eliza, was his faith, his conversion, his interpretation of the big note, Zappa's big note. He just described the big note there. Closet Zappa file.
However woeful.
Yes, cool.
Do you agree with what Eric McLuhan, your son, is saying? Do you agree with his writings and what he's teaching?
We're not sure we've ever engaged in coitus.
Because he's quoting me, Eliza.
Have you heard any of the things that Eric McLuhan is speaking of from what you were teaching?
Well, all through his life, he swung between the ridiculous and the sublime.
Would you say that he's following in your footsteps?
No one should ever walk where we walk.
Is there anything you would have liked to say to any of the people you were acquainted with, like Ted or any of the others that you were talking to? Was there anything that you would like to say to them?
Well, mostly that I satirize all the time, and my hyperboles are as nothing compared to the events to which they refer.
That's from the Playboy interview, I think.
Who would you say understood you the most?
No one.
Do you recall parallel world traveling or working in other worlds?
Well, the coach house seemed to do that sometimes.
The coach house?
You could keep
Thompson
off of
me. That was the name of his office. George Thompson was his assistant in the 70s. The coach house is his office from 63 to 1980.
So when you were at the coach house, you felt like you were in other worlds or able to go
we
to other
access.
Worlds?
We had access to other worlds. And we thank you all for your delicious engagement of this liposuction of the mind. We bid you adieu and good day.
Thank you, Mr. McClellan.
Thank you, Marshall. Thanks a lot, Eliza. Go ahead.
Hi, Ion. It's Evan. Oh, long time.
Hey, Chicklo.
My question is about the process of coming into becoming Sultan. Could you speak about what was revealed possibly in the rewrite and how that relates to the charter and the ascension, and where you encounter the place of salt and light?
Well, inside and out, but you've got to find your bearings. You're looking for bearings. Once you find your bearings, salt and light are easy. We'd say look up and then look to your left.
Are you there once you are at the throne? And could you say a little bit more about that? How was that in relation to the throne?
Well, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?
By return?
Well,
Yes.
Very good, very good.
I've heard you speak a number of times, and something about the idea of inversion has been the answer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Could you speak to that process, that concept,
well,
that practice?
Sometimes it's more about novation than inversion, but both can apply. If you take the basic components of salt and you take the Na or the sodium out of the side conversation, then you can start breaking down exactly what you're meaning, the actual corporeal parts of salt. And then you have to break down light and the actual distances between wavelengths and forms of how they bend, like differentiating types of light through a prism. When you filter all those through, you have a much broader conversation that then you can invert the novation to make a new whole formulation.
Novation, how would you describe that?
A new contract.
Between?
You and you.
Amongst? The little man and the ascended man.
Yes, you and you.
A couple of weeks ago, I picked up books 8 through 10 of the Book of Moses, and I was reading to Bob and folks a description of Mount Sinai. It talked about two different peoples living on either side, not knowing each other. One, I guess, was the lost tribes of the Hebrews. What was the other group on the other side of the mountain?
The Moabites. Moab.
The Moab. Okay.
The Moabite.
Also,
what happened
there? Also, it talked about Jethro, I believe was the name of the man who taught Moses the magic of the time. Is that accurate?
He was a Kohathite.
And who are they?
The ones on the other side of the Moabites.
What was he able to do? What was the magic?
The Kohathites were the inner priests of the Hebrews, the Jews, who guarded the Ark of the Covenant. And they also had access to the manna.
So that was the family of Aaron?
It was.
A whole bunch of people.
Exodus, it was. It was a lot of people. But Aaron, who received the mantle, was also a Kohathite. But what you're referencing is Exodus 19.
In today's terms, what was he able to demonstrate? What was the tribe of Aaron able to demonstrate that set them apart?
We say magic.
What act would be defined as magic? That was something they would do that was necessary or that they did every day, let's say.
Binding and loosing spirits, controlling legion, moving of mass and matter, controlling the environment and gravity, gravitational pull, dividing atomic particular matter, driving antimatter, regular matter, changing graphite into a different form of carbon, recreating high, long pressure systems like making diamonds by squeezing coal in your hand. Little easy stuff, you know, no big deal.
What did you say to prompt that answer?
I said, what were some of the practical or some of the activities that they performed? What did they perform as magicians?
Yeah. Who? The Kohathites? You're saying the Kohathites you asked about, Eben?
Yes.
Who?
Yes, and the
who,
tribe
you
and
said,
the,
who?
The bloodline of Aaron.
You asked, what did the Kohathites do? You weren't asking what Aaron was doing. You were asking what the Kohathites did.
Their magic. You want to know their magic abilities.
What were some of the more complex things they did?
Reorganizing the meat sack body.
Would they do that to little men or just amongst those that could handle that frequency?
They didn't care. It just had to be steel.
How did they attain that capability?
They read the Book of Jubilee.
What is the Book of Jubilee?
Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Ruth, King, Psalms, up to Horeb.
We read it today, we don't see it. Were they able to read so much in between the lines? How did they know how to decipher this code?
They could see between the lions and tigers and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
He would say we did, but Bob would have to take credit for it. He's the author among us.
In the Nag Hammadi Library, there is a book on the Archons. It talks about fallen angels, super beings that helped create the first Adam. That Adam was this twitching mass ground, and then the intelligence of Sophia came. I don't know if she created a separate being and breathed life into it, the epinoia, and created a second Adam. What do you think about that book, that track on the Archons and their process in the Garden of Eden and creating two different Adams?
If you follow the direction implicitly, you end up with French milled soap.
And what is that?
A very fine coagulant that makes your body clean when you rub it on you with water.
And how was that applied in this instance between the two atoms?
It doesn't. It's a bad hyperbole.
What is the intelligence Sophia? What does that represent?
The basin of French milled soap.
What are the archons?
Another representation led through Horeb.
Another representation, meaning that it is a word that doesn't do justice to what it is trying to speak to?
From your notice of understanding yet, yes. Exodus 20:23.
Are there archons on this planet today?
There's a few.
Oh, is that Deb?
Yeah.
Debbie is showing up from Boston? Okay.
Yeah, because I was attracted to frankincense a couple days ago to go buy it.
Yeah.
And myrrh.
And you're very in tune with it. Okay. That's been discussed for a couple of weeks. So you actually are a bit slow. You took the second or third week of frankincense being discussed before you had your little synchronicity experience.
I know. Well, it was about a week, 2 weeks maybe. And then I bought a book on it about a month ago.
Well, that's pretty good. There's where you're ahead of the curve there.
Yeah. It is kind of like a detoxer or something like a... It helps to take out evil and stuff like that.
That's what we do. That's what we do. We take out the evil.
That's true.
But there is none. Or is there?
Evil and live backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you use the word evil, Ion?
We didn't. We were just good for what she said.
Hey, did you know that Moses took myrrh to Egypt?
Deb.
Yeah.
We're working on this issue. We got Ion down on the ropes. Don't you understand what's going on here?
I do.
Like, Bart can say, we heard you say it. So why does Ion say that they didn't say it?
Well, three weeks ago, we started talking about it. And then a month ago, she bought a book about it. So we could just go with that, and that can be the whole moat. We can go with the moat. Because a month ago, she bought a book about it, and we talked about it 3 weeks ago. And you're working on a project, Bob, and everything will be okay.
So that's
a bunch of garbage. That's the muddy moat.
That's the muddy moat.
Bird. Nail them, Bird. What did he fucking say?
What are the origins of the word ion?
Your biases and your experiences have to be gauged on up and down, or down from out, or out from under, or in from over. So you can't know good until you make up an evil. You can't have a God unless you have devil. But that's not even the counterpart to it. It's not even the antagonist-protagonist situation. So even that's deficient by half.
It's simply a bias. And I'm looking up the definition for it. It's got a lot of definitions, but basically they're just pejorative terms for it's some sort of a... it looks like a social connotation. There's some sort of morally reprehensible, sinful, wicked, and evil impulse arising from actual or imputed bad character or conduct, a person of evil reputation.
You read the definition, you go, now what does that mean? If you really look it down and break down those words, it says the same thing that it said already, something that's not good, ungood, knee good, de good. Okay.
There are no good or bad connotations within our conversation here, so...
Then describe good. If there are no good or bad connotations, then describe good. Is good indeed the absence of badness?
Is that the same way that antimatter is not the same as non-matter?
That's correct. Or is it the opposite of antimatter? Is the matter opposite to antimatter?
So the dictionary definition of good is of a high quality, of somewhat high but not excellent quality, correct or proper?
Basically, but so evil would be the opposite of that? We just know what the definition read.
Yeah, it's not calling it the opposite of good.
There you go. So even your counterpart isn't countered.
Well, evil just seems to be applying some sort of an ethical evaluation.
Ethical bias.
Ethical bias. But if I don't recognize that, then I don't recognize either or.
You have varying degrees. You murder somebody and say, oh, well, they needed killing. That really wasn't that bad. Oh, we just said bad things about them. Oh, we just turned them in. Oh, we just had them put before the firing squad. Oh, hell, we just hung them. They were a witch anyway. We know better. That's what you do with witches. And now even your bad is in levels and degrees of badness.
Would you say subjectively so?
We would, but we don't know what it means.
Subjective or evil?
Objectively.
I think it is a contradiction that Lucifer is the archetype of something bad and is the light. So we are supposed to become the salt and the light.
Are you directing that to Ion or to Bert?
To Ion. If we're supposed to become the light...
No, you're not supposed to become the light. You're supposed to be the light. You don't become it, you are it.
And good or bad does not come into that conversation, good or evil.
Well, now, those are two different things. So you're including both those things? Okay.
Is there a relationship between good and live?
We would say no.
Not necessarily.
Or is there? Develop it. If you think there is, develop it.
Is there a relationship between good and live? Good seems like a valuation. I'll read the good definition. Of high quality, of somewhat high but not excellent quality, correct or proper. I'm not sure, can a valuation like that be applied to living?
No, because even that definition doesn't say anything. Who's going to say it's better than or not excellent or less than excellent or pretty good or better than most or almost dead if you can sit up at all? That's good, but that's not good if you're trying to live because you're not able to walk if you're not even ambulatory. We'd say that's not good, but if you're in a coma, that's real good. So it's ridiculous.
Gradations, okay. I'd actually written down other questions that I'd like to move into unless there's a relationship we can draw from this correlation here or lack of a correlation.
So that would be a good decorrelation, or is that a bad correlation?
I guess we'll find out here. A lover who loves, is that still the ultimate goal?
So far.
Is that stated anywhere in the Bible?
Yes.
Would you share the passage?
Good gracious, there's 100 of them. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That he came to the world that he ought to destroy the world, but that the world may have eternal life in completeness. That the love that comes from your heart be the love that's everlasting and goes from everlasting to everlasting. That force field will hold you in your place of Godship. Then you go back to Zechariah and you go back to, Ezekiel. Good gracious, all the way through Revelation and all the churches. Pergamon.
Is that the Greek city Pergamon?
How many others do you know?
Okay.
Deutsche Bank.
No, that's Babylon, honey.
Ow.
Poor Deutsche Bank.
I wanted to actually ask about the process.
Well, it's real simple. You got money checks, and you don't have enough money checks to cover the money checks that you wrote out for money checks. So now you're short.
You're talking about me specifically. So you're saying I'm a bit short?
Deutsche Bank, the reason it fails is because they ain't got enough money checks to cover their money checks. It's dead.
Deutsche Bank.
And they got nobody to cover them, so they got to fall because they got nothing to prop them up. And Bob apparently is not going to give them any money checks, so they're screwed.
Yes, and there are no gods that I'm aware of that are bothered by that.
Are those good gods or bad gods?
Just God.
Good. Good God Almighty.
Hey, Bert, did he just mention me and my checks, my money checks? My charger's drying.
Yeah, Bob was, Bob was worried about his ice cream, so we had to bring it up.
Yeah. So what did he say? I refuse to help the Deutsche Bank? Is that what was
That's
said?
That's right. Yes.
Okay, I thought he said that, but I didn't hear it. I don't want to go around with misinformation in my head. So thanks for noticing what he said, guys.
Oh, that's amazing. Because in 3 or 4 years, when Bob ever decides to listen again, he might know that he was listening then, that he knew now, that he didn't know then, that he wasn't listening before. So it's incredible that 3 years have passed by now. You all get all the pinpoints, and yet he's still working on the projects. Pretty incredible. So 3 years from now, he'll use this to validate the position that he knew all along, because he bought a book about it a month ago, right?
Well said, Ion.
So on the subject of Lover Who Loves, I'm going from a conversation you had with Eben Ray.
We love Eben Ray. She's so wonderful.
You said that you would be a collection of non-physical that is in every human being. It's how you know you have a spirit. It's how you can have an interaction with a human being that is delicious and sometimes have a reaction that would be repelling. That's the non-physical parts that are coming together or not coming together, and the psychic part or physical part, as long as it's based on the love aspect, then it becomes a common ground. And once that common ground is achieved, it becomes countless. That's the best way to describe the vastness that is what you would necessarily know as unbounding love. That's the simplest way.
Bam. Bob, when you hear that 3 years from now, you'll remember that was really good.
Hey, are you quoting somebody, Bert?
I'm quoting the great Ion.
Oh, is that right? Hey, when did he say all that?
That was with one of Eben Ray's exchanges.
You'll hear it in about 2.5 years from now, Bob. It's coming on. It's in the pipeline. You'll catch it. It's in your notes. It's in your notes, Bob. Check the tiny note. It's in there.
Thanks. Thank you.
Once that common ground is achieved, it becomes countless. That's the best way to describe the vastness that is what you would necessarily know as unbounding love. That's the simplest way.
Dude.
Jesus, Ion talks a lot. Holy fuck. Yeah, you just can listen to it. You actually hear it written out and transcribed. It's like luminous.
And Bob's been helping us with our elocution. Just think, when we learn how to talk right, it'll be a bang-up thing, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Almost ineffable.
Is Bob bordering on ineffability?
Never. Good gracious,
no,
he doesn't even know what it is. He's been the rest of eternity talking about ineffability.
Some girls may say he's very effable.
Yum. But they can't smell bad, and they can't have bad things come off of them, and they can't look bad, and they got to have their hair fixed right. If they have anything hanging off of their body, that doesn't work. Yes, they have that cut off. They have to have perfect toes. Their toenails have to be perfect, and they have to be correctly proportioned. Otherwise, they can't get it anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Is that Carolyn laughing? Bob's original statement was ugly bitches.
Never be so verbose.
Carolyn's still laughing.
There you go.
You laugh. Let's go over here and let's do her laugh. Let's hear it.
So, continuing from this exchange, Ion says, does it feel right with you? Does it resonate with you? So that all of a sudden gives it empathic value and power. Now, my question is, this repelling or resonating with other creators, is that mostly some or fully autonomic?
It can be always autonomic, but it doesn't always have to be autonomic.
So it can be a choice or a preference.
What are you referring to?
There's the resonating or repelling. that occurs between one non-physical and another is non-physical.
He's talking about the resident node.
Okay.
Resident he doesn't node. Know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
The resident node? He doesn't know it. Like dupes of non-physical, the resident node.
Are you saying he is Bob or he is in part?
They, yes, the collective.
Okay. We're figuring it out. So my question was it all mostly, partly, or fully autonomic? And you said it was...
likened to the resident node.
And a resident node, is that an antenna?
Oh, no. If something is known, and then you know it, and it was known, then it's node. Resonantly.
That's a ha, ha, ha. Yeah, when you go to dupes, you go through resonantnode.com. Carry on, Bert.
Is he doing his homework now, Bob?
Yeah. I'm doing my day homework. The repelling is mostly autonomic. Whether it be fully deliberate or not would be a limiting factor, whereas the common ground or love aspect would be an enhancing factor. So is that a sort of a walls and bridges ratio?
It certainly would be.
This effect or this process of repelling or resonance, that process is affected by the RNA drops?
Everything is. Even the resonant node. Your environment has been forever changed. It's not the same anymore. Even for the people who can't take the drops, but you're nobody. There's no one on the planet who can't. There's some who say they have metaphorical excuses, and that's okay. But even it, because it's in your environment, it changes everything. You can't help it. It doesn't matter anymore.
Okay, well, this is where I was sort of leading with that.
We know. That's why we were trying to help you get out of the soup before you got scalded by the boiling broth.
You said that, of course, there is everything shifts, can shift by a minor degree, and that would change the whole trajectory, and that it would make it difficult for the murderers to line up with the murderees and the rapers with the rapies.
And the herpes. Don't forget the herpes simplex.
That would be a specific effect of this change in the environment is this...
That's a landscape.
Landscape.
Open up all them emails, Bob. You're getting them every 5 seconds.
This is shifting the landscape so it moves toward the enhancement aspect rather than the repelling aspect.
Well, that depends on if you're pitching or catching now, doesn't it?
Would you say
we get you there, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, now we're in some place else. No, it's not about that. It's about paying attention. You're asking the questions. If your platitudes have to move vicissitudes, or if your vicissitudes must prove platitudes, then you got to be able to take them to the nth degree. Because if you're going to move 1 degree and take it out to the nth mark, that could be light years away from where you were headed by 1 degree. 1 degree is nothing. Correct? But the extrapolation of the nth degree, so in every single timeline it's precluded to be or not to be, that is not even the question. The question is the angle at which the degree is spun. Isn't that fun? That's fun, yeah. Bob. That was good. Bob, that was great. Bob, you did good, Bob. Bob, you're working hard for you, Bob. We're working hard for you here, Bob.
Is it correct to say that the...
No.
Okay. So it doesn't have anything to do with this sort of...
Good Lord, no, it can't. How do you get there from there? Well, I mean, but you got to be biased to even notice that there's a biased position. That's the point.
Yeah.
You got to be screwed up to know that screwing's going on. Otherwise, you never would notice. Just saying.
Nope, I appreciate that. I acknowledge the bias in the... two aspects there, and it's not necessarily that it's not simplified that like that.
It might be one day, but you have too many canticles of variable.
You have me looking up the definition for canticles.
Good.
All right, the first definition I came to was Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
A song that has words from the Bible and that is used in Christian church services.
Oh, canticles. Canticles, yeah, of what?
Did you use the word variations, Ion?
Variations of it, yes, we did.
Is that what he said, Carol? Canticles of variation?
Yes.
And a canticle is one of several liturgical songs, as the Magnificat, taken from the Bible. So it's just variations on those liturgical songs.
That's where rap came from, too. Cold blood in the nigger, no love in the nigger. Yo, Gotti.
A street canticle.
Yo, Gotti.
Yeah.
I was trying to work together the statement, a lover who loves, and this notion of enhancing that common ground. Is there a relationship there at all, or is that...
You're
just,
reaching. You're reaching.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, don't reach. Be very afraid.
No, it's okay. You can reach. You should know that you're reaching.
Hey, KW has a question, Ion. Is it possible to ever get beyond bias?
Yes. But you'd have to have a bias to know that.
You mentioned Fort Worth before. Are there more words you can say on that?
Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind?
Cross my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't up to that point or since, but I noticed that it's on the 33rd parallel or close to it. Is there
it
a
is.
Relevant
we send
to that?
We send in Margarita there. We got her up to Lubbock is as far as we got. But don't worry. Don't you worry. It's going to work out.
Is she just visiting or is she going to relocate?
She doesn't know it yet, but she's relocating. 3 men in a truck. You better know it.
Throw it in a box truck. Yeah, drive it up. Well, I wanted to try to meet her, and maybe there'll be an opportunity.
Well, try intention. It worked wonders for you so far.
Yeah. She was on my first, very first session with Ion. You put her on the call.
You mean your private session or the rewrite?
Yes, my private.
Yeah, she was part of your first private session?
That was back in the fucked up days, Bobby. You were just doing the best you could.
So why did I let you bring her into your private session? I vaguely remember that. Why did that happen? Why?
I think that she had read something that I had written and you mentioned that this is the person who wrote that article and you just connected us on the call.
Threw it on the bus and said, okay,
would that be,
your dime, spill it.
Was that after the session or during it?
No, that was before. Odd. It was before,
why would we,
before I talked to Ion, yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes, before we were waiting, like we were talking half an hour before the
yes.
session or something. So then we brought in, I called Margarita, right.
And I will say that. This,
yep.
that she, there was a lot of laughing, but not a lot said.
Well, you know, KW just had an orgasm. The one who asked, is it possible to ever get beyond bias? KW goes, wow, please say more. Oliver from Charlie Dickens, more please, more sir.
So we have biases that we're not aware of, Ian, is that correct?
They wouldn't be biases if you weren't aware of them, would they?
So are you,
hey,
are you
here.
We all have biases.
Finally.
Listen to your words.
Let's take a break here. Ion, your friend Angela's here.
Okay, let her rip, Tater
like
Chip.
Okay, what were you going to say, Ion? What did I do? You're addressing me?
Listen to what he said. So you can't have a bias unless you know there is one. Listen to his words, Bob. Help him before he gets too far off the rabbit train.
Well, I think that's what you told him. You can't have a bias.
Well, that's
you
your problem. That's fine, but he's saying so if you have to notice it to know there is one. Well, if you can't notice that there's one, how would you notice there is one to notice? If you didn't notice the bias, there would be no... Well, exactly. If you didn't know you had a bias, then there would never be a bias to be noted. And so his question was,
right.
So if you got to have a bias to know you have a bias. Well, if you're noticing a bias, then you have to establish one. There may be a bias, but you'd never notice it. Your slip is never showing if you don't have a slip.
Hey, Carol, that's why everything's already happened. if you want to get beyond bias, you have to not notice bias. Well, that happened a long time ago before you knew anything. So that's why enlightenment happened back there. Never been said before. I just
nailed
it.
That means any noticing is time-related, so that's where Bob No Mind
is how to be it.
State.
All answers are answered by Bob No Mind.
The answer to all answers is it's already happened in your eternal and what next.
No, there's no more what next.
No, everything happened in your already eternal.
The next. Yeah, it already happened. You didn't notice anything.
But like we said, just for the sake of distortion's sake, engaging distortion for distortion's sake, is the bias sort of tantamount to an ideological preference or just a personal preference?
Well, that's a bias. You can change the words, but it's still a bias. So, yes, an ideological blah-la-la-la-la wouldn't be noticed unless there's an ideological blah-la-la-la-la. And if there is a blah-la-la-la-la, then you're going to notice the blah-la-la-la. But if you don't notice that there's an educational or de-educated or uneducated blah-la-la-la-la, then you won't be noticing it. So it really won't apply then, will it? But if you're offended by the blah-la-la-la-la, then you got to find out what it is. You've got to put it somewhere. You got to like it, not like it. Then you got to find a peat bog to bury it in. And then it all goes downhill from there. And the next thing you know, you wake up in the Quoker quadrant with Lorinda and LaRouche putting things in your bum.
Angela asks if we know about David Wynn Miller. David Wynn Miller is a former American, former tool and die welder and current activist in a tax protest group affiliated with the freedom movement. He is a proponent of the use of certain syntax he created to be used by people involved in legal proceedings. Do you have a comment on David Miller's bias? Ion.
We don't. It's an amiable flight, but it's a very hard battle to fight.
There it is, Angela. You have been serviced.
A little bit ago before Angela came on, I thought I heard we all have a bias. Is that you talking, Ion?
We're still working on our elocution.
KW says, the answer then is it's already happened. And you didn't notice, so it's a non-issue. That's sort of presented as a question. The answer then is it's already happened.
You're creating issues here temporarily just as a means of engaging.
Why are we engaging you, Ion, with these non-issues?
We have no idea. Palmer, what have we learned so far?
Nobody is here for any sane reason.
Why is Hollywood the place where all the archetypes are now created, and like all the stories that you are presenting?
Because of Rodeo Drive.
What is in Rodeo Drive?
It intersects with Vine.
That's a fancy shop area of Beverly Hills.
Shopping Rodeo Drive, but
have you ever been there, Roxy?
In Vine.
Okay.
Have you been in California much, Roxy?
Yes, but I was like 4 or 5.
So you've never experienced Rodeo
Drive? They have fabulous haute couture.
Oh, la, la.
So what was your question, Roxy?
Ooh, la, la. Why is Ion quoting Hollywood archetypes?
No. What's special about Hollywood? What's special about them? There's another email, Bob.
About the mystery landscape comes from Hollywood.
Look, Hollywood and Vine.
Hollywood. It comes from Red Row, comes from Rodeo Drive, and where Vine intersects it. It's a collusion point of why that made that a special place some time ago. That with sweet little Mary Pickford and Passion's Plaything. That's where it all started, right there.
Is there a relationship to the
of America? There has been so many sects and what we call spiritual.
There's a lot of sects. Sometimes there's buttery nipples, and sometimes there's sex on the beach, and sometimes there's flaming orgasms. Sometimes there's all kinds of them. You can have lots of different kinds of sex.
Is there a portal at Hollywood and Vine? Or where
Rodeo Drive.
Is there a phenomena or an anomaly similar to a portal that created the industry in that particular area around Rodeo Drive?
Well, we're going to say yes, but don't go look it up yet because we haven't had that chance to put it in the Wikipedia yet. And everything that is in the Wikipedia, or it is not. It's like 121 Depot Street. It does not exist until we put it in the Wikipedia. So give it a minute, and we'll get Mr. Snowden to work on it.
That is not, or is it, on the 33rd or near the 33rd parallel?
Look it up.
Okay.
I figure out the reason we're here. We're here because there's a voice that will respond to our incessant questioning. It doesn't get upset, doesn't get bad, might get a little annoyed, but who could you say all those crazy questions to outside of this room?
Well, no one I could think
of.
And
get answers. That's why we're here. Ian's willing to be endless, perpetual response.
We're mostly repose.
Roxy, isn't that why you're here, Roxy?
We're playing.
Yeah, I ended endless
I'm
play.
I'm sure for my power.
What do we say to that, Ion?
Wikipedia says no.
All right, it appears that the 33rd parallel does run through Los Angeles.
Do.
Was someone aware of that location and used it to that effect, or was that...
Well, hell yes. Do the math on that. Yes.
Yeah.
In 3 years, they're going to listen to the show and find out what we already said, which will make it important. So Bob will come back from Egypt and straighten it all out again. He's been 9 times already. It's really crazy.
Was it one individual that was aware of that, or was it more than one?
Herschel Blumenthal.
So Herschel Blumenthal, born October 5, 1942, Brownwood, Brown County, Texas, USA. Died November 28, 1999. Did he actually transition, Ion?
Nope.
You said that he was the only person that was aware of this?
Then.
They're not stating what business he was in.
Right. That's interesting, isn't it? That the Wikipedia would be so short-sighted. So he was a man on this planet who did nothing, had nothing, was nothing, but he made enough to make the Wikipedia that he was here and there. Interesting. To be such a non sequitur, isn't it odd to have so much sequitarianism?
What was his occupation? Did he have one?
Wikipedia says no.
Did he actually arrive, or did he come to this world in 1942?
It's when they noted him. He was noted then.
Did he return to the world that he came from?
Not yet.
Did he...
Chestnuts.
Are you talking about food?
We answered your question.
What was your question?
My reception is a little funky right now.
Someone's phone's not working. Ignore them. What's the name of the guy?
Eugene Herschel Blumenthal.
It's pronounced Herschel.
Who was that person who was very weak?
It was me. My reception was bad. I asked if he came through Bug Tussle.
And we said chestnuts.
So in Los Angeles in 1910 or soon thereafter, a prominent film industry began to emerge, eventually becoming the most recognizable film industry in the world. Herschel, look, if we use his birth date, that's 30 years after. It doesn't work, yeah. But we're not dealing with time here, so we have to take that out of the equation.
Got to go back to MGM. Metro.
Hey, was he born in 42?
Golden Mayer.
Is he born in 42?
Yes.
Well, and he discovered that L.A. was on the 33rd parallel. Doesn't sound likely. Too young.
Wasn't then.
Well, when was it? Tomorrow?
1860.
Yeah, what do you think of that, everybody?
Hollywood was a small community in 1870 as it was incorporated as a municipality in 1903.
Mm-hmm.
So did Herschel advise, I don't know if you call them a municipality or the people that...
Well, that's what we're going to call them when they file for bankruptcy, Chapter 9.
You're going to call it a municipality?
Yeah.
They're heading that way pretty quickly.
Ta-da. How you feeling the burn? Maybe the burn can save it. You feeling it? You feeling it? You feeling it?
I'm enjoying what I can watch that, well, what I can enjoy that comes out of there. But so was Herschel advising folks, or was he
now,
more?
Repete. Herschel.
Herschel.
Yeah.
Hoy.
Hoy Gestalt, yeah.
Was Herschel advising people, or was he trying to take a leadership role in this incorporation?
It's pretty weird. He wasn't very good at it if he was trying to do that, because no one even knows where he was. They didn't know when he was born. They don't know that he died. They knew the notice that he died, but they didn't know what he had in a job, his whole long living life, and on and on and on and on and on. So he must not have been too spectacular at anything, eh?
Did he move into this world with the specific purpose of creating that industry? Okay.
Before there was Paramount, it was Paramount. And another email, Bob.
I see that. I can hear the emails bouncing in my... You can't hear it, Bert, can you? You don't hear the bounce.
I'm hearing my head.
I'm hearing a little dude.
Oh, okay. So nothing special about Ian there. Ian can hear what you guys hear. What did this guy do? Why are we talking about him?
He popped in and created
Hollywood. Get a grip on yourself. Get a fucking grip on yourself, Alyssa. Now,
so,
Bert, what...
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios.
Drunk. It's stoned, drunk, hopped up on acid. Nate's dick up her fucking armpit. You know, what the fuck is... Let's describe Alyssa right now. She's got three dicks up in all different orifices, like the band. Why is she in the band? Because she's real fun after the gig.
And she can't fend for herself because her phone's out.
Right.
I just muted him.
Ion's an aphrodisiac. Alyssa can't control herself when she starts listening to Ion, and Nate comes home and she sprawled all over the van, and we won't go into the particulars, but she's there. You fucking Ion again?
I'm looking at...
There's a gas mask that's getting aroused.
Why are we talking about Herschel, Bart?
He came through another world to the Rodeo Drive, I don't know what you call that point, it was on the 33rd parallel, with a purpose, specific purpose of creating, starting the Hollywood industry. So Ion mentions MGM.
He's born in 42, but he started the Hollywood
industry. No, he was not born in 42, Bob.
Ion says he was noted then.
That's when he was noted.
But the Wikipedia says he's born in 42, right, Bart?
This website I'm on does state that.
Yeah, but that's
Jesus,
that wasn't
fucking
real
God. It's not even the Wikipedia. Well, that's even more ridiculous. It's not even the Wikipedia. You for sure can't go by that.
No, come on. It's legit.
Stick
it's findthegrave.com.
Stick another dick in it. Light up a cigarette.
So MGM Studios was founded
mute
in 1924.
Mute me, Alyssa. Put me on speakerphone. I want to address the band. I want to give a State of the Union. I've inspired Ion to give a union of the stated undressed.
So I'll put him clothes. I'll
inspired
put him clothes.
To give my address.
I'll put clothes.
Bob has decided we are going to start a new year. New administration.
Was there
are you ready? Bert, nobody cares about Herbert. What the hell are you going on about? You keep going on about this guy. I'm going to mute you.
Well, let me ask another one. Did the same scenario come in with Disney in 71?
No.
That was really Walt's creation.
Well, when it gets created, it will be.
Ah, okay. Bob's Disney.
He'll give you the real meaning of what Goofy does.
Hey, Hollywood and Vine is where the Hollywood Walk of Fame is centered on that intersection. and it was a lemon grove until 1903. Does that make any difference on anything?
How would we know?
I don't know.
It's Rodeo Drive, not Hollywood Drive.
Oh, right. Rodeo Drive. Right. Sorry.
And it does not intersect with Vine.
Yes, it does.
The current map of Los Angeles does not intersect Rodeo Drive and Vine.
What?
Are you saying there's another map, Ian?
Apparently.
Does it intersect in the world where Hoyschel came from?
Hoyschel, oi, lady!
Was there a Hollywood, was there a similar industry in Hoyschel's original world?
It's obviously not the same Herschel you found, because if he was from Brownwood, Texas, he wouldn't be saying Herschel that way.
What's wrong with Uncle Hoyschel?
If he was from Brownwood, Texas, he wouldn't say Hoyschel.
It's right at Fountain Avenue. You.
I'm related to Herschel? Hoyschel?
Hell no. Well, we don't know.
Is anybody related to
Herschel? I was at that intersection.
When JW...
Well, then you should know it intersects it, for Pete's sake.
When JW makes the program, do you dictate to him the story? Or how does this work that he has...
We do, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the story. He doesn't like to talk. He doesn't like people who talk. He doesn't like to engage. He doesn't like to know things. He doesn't like to be responsible for things. He normally typically doesn't care. He's so busy pleasing and delighting himself, he typically doesn't notice. But, yes, he gets the full download to the chagrin of him and the chagrin of many.
And did you always did this type of downloads, like everywhere where you are interested?
Yes. The only way it is.
Do you mean with other people through whom Ion speaks, Roxy?
No. All media, all books,
all, media.
All archetypes.
The archetypals.
This version of the cloud, which is you've called an imitation or a different version of the real cloud, would you call that sort of an acclimation or an introduction, or what words were you used to describe this cloud? We're using the Bill Gates cloud versus the real cloud. Is the Bill Gates cloud sort of an acclimation or an introduction?
Looks like you've run your course, Barb. Looks like someone else is going to have to ask questions. You've worn Ion down.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm here, so I want to present them questions.
Yeah, you had a good run. What was Roxy asking about JW? Did you get that, Bart?
I see all these archetypes in Egypt, in Babylon, in the Bible, and I was asking them if they download these stories that are everywhere. And they say yes.
You asked about JW
yes,
downloading?
Because now they are presented, for example, the innovation, the new contract in this world. They present.
Why do you bring
like
JW into it? Do you mean Ion
because
when you say JW?
All this producing in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. JW, the one who makes the movies. And you're asking,
yeah,
what about him?
All,
that he... Yeah, but what's the question?
All the
JW, he makes all these movies.
No. I asked him if he sort of downloads all this information from Ion.
And then shares it with J.J. Abrams.
He does download.